Once my clothes were ragged, the world looked down on me. I had no hope for tomorrow, nor for eternity. Then grace came with mercy, and heard this orphan's plea. Now I've been adopted, from bondage I've been set free. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royalty. I came so empty-handed, no place to call my own, no one to really love me, but now look what I own. I'm feasting on the manna that comes from God on high, and there is shortage, there is a vast supply. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royalty. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My family is royalty. Now I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My family is royalty. Now I'm no longer an orphan. My family is royalty.
Once I was lost in the darkness, but Jesus heard me when I cried. His grace was more than I asked for, 'cause He brought this poor sinner to life. Now as I trust in my Savior, we walk hand in hand every day. I've had some joy and some sorrow, but with all my heart I can say, here on this journey I found Him faithful. Time after time, His grace overflows. Every need is surely met. Jesus has never failed me yet. He's been so good, and I've been blessed. God don't know how he could bless me more than he's blessed me today. But each time I come to his table, he's never pushed me away. I've never dreamed I could stand here and tell you how good God has been. But I've found no greater forgiveness, and so I will tell you again. Here on this journey, I found him faithful. Time after time, his grace overflows. Every need is surely met. Jesus has never failed me yet. He's been so good, and I've been blessed. God has been faithful. When I can't see what's ahead down the road, and I wonder if I'll have to travel alone, all the proof that I need that my God will supply comes when I look behind me and see grace was there all the time. Here on this journey, God has been faithful. Time after time, his grace overflows. Every need is surely met. Jesus has never failed me.
Let me see if I heard this correctly. Two people from Texas qualified for a spelling bee. I think those were, those were grace points. Yeah, I've got to stick around and watch that. So, Spill, how you doing? Spill. Good grief, that could get really funny. Did you sleep well? How many of you stayed in a hotel? Everybody. Wow. All right. How many of you guys slept well? Did you get woke up by any smells? I know Mesquite Baptist Academy is in my hotel. There were guys in biohazard suits walking down the hallway earlier today. So anyhow, this is an early time for church service, isn't it? Yeah. And so I don't know if we should sing the Chicken Nicken song or the Father Abraham or what. You heard about the preacher. He went and knocked on some of his church members' door. And they had been sick, been out of church. He knocked on the door. He heard them moving inside, but nobody came to the door. So he took his gospel tract out and flipped it over on the back of it. He just simply wrote Revelation 3:20 and put it on their door and left. And the next Sunday they showed up to church. And he saw the offering later on. The guys that counted the offering handed him that card. And he got his card back. And on the opposite side of it, they had written Genesis 3:10. And that's all they put. He looked it up in his Bible and just began to laugh. What he had written, Revelation 3:20, said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What they wrote back to him, Genesis 3:10, said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." So, we're preaching on decisions this morning, and you want to make right decisions. No greater fear for a soul winner than how they're going to answer the door. And if you knock doors in East Texas, you never know. I know I'm carnal, but I do watch a little bit of television. And somebody got me hooked on this Duck Dynasty. Anybody watch Duck Dynasty? It's a somewhat clean show. I understand what Cy is saying. I understand. Mount Man, Amen, Willie. I want a grape slush. Barack Obama, your president, was out jogging one morning when he tripped and he fell over a bridge railing and he fell into a creek. Before the Secret Service guys, or ladies, as there's now a lady that's the head of Secret Service, I can imagine her having a bad day. Before the Secret Service guys could pull him out of the creek, three kids were fishing nearby, and they pulled him out of the water, saved him from drowning. He was so grateful to the kids that he offered the kids whatever they wanted. The first kid said, "I want to go to Disneyland." He said, "No problem. I'll take you there on Air Force One." The second kid said, "I want a brand new pair of Nike Air Jordan tennis shoes." And Obama said, "I'll get them for you, and I'll even get Michael Jordan to sign them." The third kid said, "I want a motorized wheelchair with built-in TV and a stereo headset." It kind of caught President Obama by surprise. He said, "Son, you don't look like you're handicapped." And the kid said, "No, but I will be after my dad finds out I saved you from drowning." So, decisions. We're talking about decisions this morning. I see some blondes in the auditorium. You hear about that blonde that was riding the horse? And it got a little carried away. And she went to fall off the horse. She did the best she could to hold the reins and hold on. But it just continued to gallop. And boy, she fell off. Her foot got caught up in the stirrup. Her head was banging up and down on the ground. She just nearly passed out. And just in the nick of time, the Walmart greeter unplugged the horse. So, yeah. Nearly lost her life. I'll tell you in a minute, we get into the message, I'll tell you about some decisions myself and my redneck brothers have made in life. I have an older brother. He's 2 years older. He's not as good looking, but he's 2 years older than me. He pastors in Tyler, Texas, East Texas there, a town of about 100,000 people. And his folks come to our church every once in a while to get a little Bible doctrine. Has a good church there, about 200 people, Woodland Hills Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. He and then my younger brother, how many of you know my younger brother? I was talking to his dad pastors in Arkansas. Goodness, he went to Providence. I forget his name now, but I just went blank. But I said, "Now, did you go to Bible college the same time that my brother was there at Providence?" He said, "No, but his name was still very notorious by the time I went." I have a younger brother. And he is actually a store director of Best Buy in Arlington, Texas, right next to Cowboys Stadium. Y'all like the Cowboys, right? Hey, I heard the Chicago Bulls beat the Miami Heat. Yeah. Heard they beat the Heat last night. Yeah. Anyhow, my brother is a store director. You actually could Google Sean Ogdy. There'll be some mug shots and other things, but You could Google him. He, on Black Friday, the Associated Press, some Associated Press photographer was out in front of his store. He was handing out the tickets to the people. And so they had his picture all over the nation in newspapers. This time it was not for a wanted ad. It was, he does. But boy, when we three get together, we get ourselves in trouble. We make some poor decisions. And turkey season starts. That's amazing, Brother Angel, at his conference is having archery competition. That sounds like something Brother Gomez would do. And but turkey season starts Saturday, and I'm looking forward to that. But when we guys get together, we get ourselves in trouble. So Proverbs chapter number 2. That's what I want to talk to you about is decisions this morning. You have a lot of decisions to make in life. Some are simple, like what time you were going to wake up this morning, what you were going to wear, whether or not you were going to brush your hair. I see some of you chose the negative on that decision. But that's supposed to be popular, right? You wake up and whatever bedhead you have, you put hairspray in it. Yeah. You had to make the decision about what you were going to eat and so forth. But there are a lot of other major decisions you're going to make in life. And you need to know from the Bible how to make those decisions. And so, Proverbs chapter 2, let's stand together. We'll read a few verses here and then we'll be seated. Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. I want to talk to you this morning about making decisions, decision points. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together? I pray, Lord, this early morning hour that we'll be able to be attentive. And I pray, God, that each teenager in here will take these thoughts to heart, maybe jot them down and know kind of a pattern to follow when they're making some of the more major decisions in their life. And, Lord, I pray that they, as a result of making right decisions, will live a better quality of life. And be in your will. Would you help us today, this morning, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Life is full of decisions. And again, we live in East Texas. Probably hard for some of you to understand me sometimes when I talk. But my brothers and I, we've done all kinds of crazy things. We didn't mean to. It just happened. And we went fishing one time. And Lake Palestine out in East Texas there, it had dried up some, we thought. And so we drove out. Sometimes in lakes, when they begin to dry up, you see an old bridge there that was there when the lake level was lower, and then they built a taller bridge. And so we decided you could see that bridge. We were going to drive down to it, and we drove out to that bridge. And in Sean's truck, and he got stuck in the mud. And so Shane went up and got his truck, and he got stuck in the mud. And I went and got my truck, and I got stuck in the mud. And we sat out there till 4 o'clock in the morning. We decided to fish because we had nowhere else to go. Until we finally waved someone down. It was a bad decision to go fishing in the middle of a lake. Don't ever drive down in the middle of a lake. It may look dry, but it's still going to be muddy. We were out hunting at our deer lease last year, and our generator didn't work. And we decided we were going to fix it and so forth. And it was pouring down rain. You don't deal with electricity in rain. And we'll leave it at that. My older brother always has bright ideas, and we have a close family. We pick on each other, but it's because they're dumb. But my older brother always has bright ideas, and he had an idea one time to take us out on a boat that had no lights. It had a trolling motor, but the battery, he forgot to charge it, and we went out and so forth, and the game warden showed up. We had no life jackets. We had no lights on the boat. We had no nothing. Be careful about the company that you choose. I don't have that choice. My dad, some of you have met my dad before. He was showing us gun safety one time. I was about 12 years old. Sean was about 8 at the time. In fact, Shane was 14. And my dad said, boys, if you're going to deer hunt with me, I'm going to have to teach you gun safety. And he had a lever action 30-30. And my older brother Shane was actually in the restroom. I don't mean to be crude, but he was taking care of business at the time in this little cabin we were in. And so my dad was standing there showing us how to load a gun. And he said, boys, here's how you practice gun safety. Boom! And he shot a hole through the roof. I'm pretty sure Shane finished up what he was doing in the bathroom there about the time the gun went off. It was a bad choice. When Sean first started using guns, he had a shotgun to deer hunt. And we don't use shotguns in Texas to deer hunt. We even use rifles and trucks and everything else. But he had a shotgun, and he saw some deer, and he was only about 10 years old, and started chasing the deer across the field, shooting shotguns at them. It was a brand new shotgun. My dad's brand new shotgun. The church had just bought him for bird hunting, and he let, for whatever reason, let Sean use it. And Sean doesn't listen, and so he didn't know that you're supposed to put the gun up against your shoulder. So he's holding it down here like the rifleman and chasing the deer, and he shoots it the first time. And if you're not holding the gun is going to leave you. And so as soon as he shot, the gun went backwards and hit a tree and chipped the stalk on it. And so you don't want to, if you ever hear an Ogdy talk about gun safety, just either laugh or leave the room, because now some of those at the time weren't that funny, but they made some great memories. When I was in junior high, we didn't have cell phones to play on all day. We didn't have the internet. We had Atari. We had the little bouncing ball, and you move the stick back and forth, boop, 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 and you hope you hit it. We didn't have much. We used to play this game, and some of you may remember, if you're around my age, 38, but there was this game, maybe we just played it in Texas, I don't know. It was a redneck game, but you drew a box, and inside the, and on top of the box, you put about 4 blanks, and you would write, all right, this is who I'm going to marry. Anybody remember this game? A few of you are nodding your head. The rest of you are just boring. You would, on top of the box, you would put 4 lines. And you would say, you know, I'm going to marry so-and-so. And back then, you just put a member of the opposite sex. It was just natural. But, you know, there were these 4 girls in your junior high class, and you were going to marry one of them. And then out beside there, you would put, on the right side of the box, you would put 4 lines, and you would put how many kids you were going to have. You know, I'm going to have 0 kids. You're 10 years old, right? And I'm going to have 0 kids one day. I'm going to have 2 kids. I'm going to have 4 kids. I'm going to qualify to be a missionary. I'm going to have 10 kids. And then on the bottom, you would put 4 blanks, and I'm going to drive a Porsche, and I'm going to drive a Ford F-150, which is what I drive. And I'm going to drive a tricycle, and I'm going to drive a Pinto. And then up beside that, you would write what house you were going to have one day. And you'd say, I'm going to have a mansion. I'm going to live in a shack. I'm going to live in a tent. I'm going to have a 2-room house. And then you would take your pen and begin to, inside the box, draw circles. Just go around and around and around. And when you decided to stop, you would stop. And then you would start at the top of those circles and count every line across the circle, and say there were 20. You drew enough circles, there were 20 lines. So you would start at the top where those line, 4 lines there, 4 lines there, 4 there, 4 there. You would count off the 20. And when you got to 20, you would mark that out, whatever it was. You'd go 20 more, mark it out, and tell you there was only 1 girl left, 1 choice on how many kids, 1 vehicle, and 1 house. And that's how you decided who you were going to marry 20 years down the road, how many kids you were going to have, what vehicle you were going to drive, because you didn't know you had to pay money for those things, and what house that you were going to purchase one day. Now, life is a little more serious than that. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 there, in verse number 5, this is my mother's life's verse, 5 and 6, but Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know a phrase that I can't stand? Now, we talked about I last night. A phrase that I can't stand is this: I know. You try to explain something to someone, I know. You try to tell a teenager something, oh, I already know. You try to tell a staff member, this is what, oh, I know that preacher, oh, I know. And it's on and on. And you're thinking, if you would just be quiet for 60 seconds, you could get this thing done right. Teenagers, let's go back to the word I. Well, if you could ever learn to drop that phrase, I know, you might learn something. And there are many who have been where you are, and they've sat where you sit, and they've had to make some of the same decisions that you're making now or you will make in the next 5 years and 10 years. And listen, some of us didn't make the best decisions. And you can learn from our experience, and some of us perhaps made better decisions and learn from that. But please lose that attitude of, I already know. Oh, I know who I'm going to marry. I know where I'm going to school. I know what I want. I've already got my plans. I told my daughter the other day. This was last summer. Tracy and Johnny Che got married down at our place. And Tracy had all these plans and all these dreams. And I said, Tracy, why did you make the whole Providence or the whole Northwest Baptist Church come to Wills Point for one person? Why didn't three of us just go up there? And she got married in our place and had a notebook full of stuff. And anytime a pastor does a wedding, by the time the wedding's over, you're so glad the wedding's over. And all the planning and the mothers-in-law and the dads and the bridezilla. And so on the way home, I was riding home with my daughter. My daughter at the time was 11. And I was riding home with my daughter, and I said, Sarah, here's what we'll do. I'm going to pay you money to just go down to the courthouse one day and just elope. You just find the man of your dreams. She said, Daddy, I've already got a whole notebook. I know, 11 years old, I've already got an entire notebook of exactly how I want my way. And I felt my wallet burning in my pocket. There's no doubt you already have a lot of plans. But we need to make sure those plans are God's plan for our life. There's so many big decisions. You know, whether or not you're going to drive down into a muddy lake and go fishing, maybe it's not funny at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're freezing to death and you're waiting on a mountain man to drive by in his four-wheel drive, and that's basically who pulled us out of the lake. Those are funny. Shooting a gun, as long as it doesn't shoot someone, but it shoots through the ceiling, wasn't funny at the time, especially to the guy on the pot. But it's funny looking back now. But there are some decisions you're going to make that 5 or 10 years from now, it's not going to be so funny. The greatest decision any of us can make is the decision to get born again. Again, I don't have a fancy message this morning for you, just more of a kind of a teaching and a thought. But let me say to you, kids die and go to hell out of Christian schools. And I'm afraid that we get so religious, and we're in church all of our life, and we're in Sunday school, and we go to Christian school, and we listen to the chapels, and we're so used to going through the process and the program that we never have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would say to you this morning, if you don't know 100% for sure that you're born again, that you're saved, well, I'd get saved before I left this auditorium. I'd get born again. That's a big decision. The will of God for your life, and seeking the will of God, and what does God want for your life? And you've heard of those that are mama called and daddy called and preacher called. But you need to know what God's calling you to do, what God wants from your life. The school you go to, I know your parents decide, but those of you that are in Christian school now, I guess all of you are either Christian school or homeschool, that was a major decision in your life for your parents to take you out of a public school or not put you in a public school and to put you in a Christian school. My little brother had the privilege of being able to go to a Christian school. We didn't at the time, and we had a Christian school at our church for years and had to close it a few years ago. And I always think it's funny to watch some of you guys in the 11th and 12th grade, and you're Mr. Stud, and you're picking on all the little boys, and you think all the girls are just falling out for you. And if you walked into public school, you'd get beat up by a 7th grader. You're the king of basketball at Christian school, but you wouldn't beat the elementary girls' team. Hey, thank God that your parents decided to put you in a Christian school. Believe it or not, as much as some of you may complain about that, oh, I don't want to have to wear a suit or I don't want to wear a collared shirt, as much as you may complain about that, that is going to make a huge difference in your life. Some of the dumbest stuff I ever did in life, I did because I allowed my friends to influence me in a public school. But guess what? Sometimes those same friends can be in a Christian school, so-called friends. We'll talk about that probably tonight. But big decisions. One of these days, you're going to have to decide whether or not to go to college. You're going to have to decide whether or not to go to Bible college. You say, I'm in 9th, 10th, 11th grade, 12th grade. I don't really know what I'm going to do when I get out of school. Listen, it's very safe. Very safe to just decide, you know, I'm going to go to Bible college for 1 year no matter what. I'm going to go to Bible college and just kind of, you know, learn the Bible and get around God's people and meet some friends and so forth. But you're going to have to make that decision. And that's not a decision that should be taken lightly. You shouldn't choose your Bible college, not a Bible college, based on whether or not you think they're going to get you to the Sweet 16. Choose your Bible college based on the preachers, the teachers. Boy, if I live closer to Providence, I'd send all of our students to Providence, not trying to advertise for them. I just have always loved the school and the quality and the professors and Brother Gomez and Brother Angel and Brother Ballard and folks that have influenced my life. But kids, listen, when it comes to choosing a Bible college, you can't just flip a coin. You shouldn't decide based on who sent you the best t-shirt or who has the nicest website or whatever it may be. Well, that's got to be a decision that you make in the right way. One of these days, you're going to have to decide who to date. Everybody has different opinions. I'm just of the opinion that we don't need to date in high school. There's no point in it. But one of these days, you're going to have to decide, who am I going to date? And boy, girls, the worst thing you can do is date and wind up marrying a guy that doesn't know how to work, doesn't know how to take care of a home, doesn't know how to take care of a family. He may be super stud. He may be the best looking guy in the Bible college. But if he doesn't have a good work ethic, you're going to struggle in your marriage. Hey guys, listen, the girls are amening right now. Let's get on the girls. Guys, you may think, boy, I tell you, she's the hottest looking thing to ever walk through the doors of my church and the best looking thing to walk through the... Does she know how to cook? I'll get back to the notes. That is important. And I think it is. Cooking is not... Honey, hey, listen, guys, you begin thinking about who you're going to marry one day. Get your eyes on that girl and get your ears on that girl and listen to the way that girl talks to her dad. Watch her Christian spirit in the church. Is she a servant or is she one of those that's always got a mirror stuck in her face? I'm simply saying that we have some big decisions to make in life that's more than just drawing numbers and blanks and well, I'm going to marry her and I'm going to do this. Our decisions will affect us for the rest of our life. Of course, daily we face decision points in regard to sin. My son, if sinners entice thee, you have a choice, the Bible says. Consent thou not. Walk not thou in the way with them. Every day you have to decide yes or no, up or down on sin. When you get home, maybe not right now, maybe. We don't know exactly what's on your phone or on your iPod. But when you get home, you have to decide every day what music are you going to listen to? What television shows will you watch? What clothes will you put on your body when you're not around the youth group? Will you try alcohol? You're not immune from people trying to encourage you to do this stuff just because you're in a Christian school. There's a good crowd and a bad crowd in a Christian school. There's a good crowd and a bad crowd in the youth department. And you're going to probably at some point come across someone who is going to try to tempt you to maybe try alcohol or to try tobacco or maybe try some sort of drug, maybe get a tattoo. It seems like that's a trend that's picking up once again, and that's crazy. Anyone that you know of that's a born, the best deacon we've ever had died a couple of years ago, an old man, but he was ashamed of the fact that at a young age, he had a tattoo put all the way down, a mermaid tattoo, put all the way down his arm. And I know of many people that have tattoos that are born again Christians today, and they regret the fact they ever did it. But some friend along the way is going to tell you, this is so cute. It's just a butterfly. Get it put there on your hands. It's so cute. Everybody's doing it. What's wrong is wrong. Period. Now, will you give away your purity? Well, that's a major decision. You say, well, no, I'm not going to give away my purity. No, no way. I'll never do that. Let me tell you where it starts. Are you going to hold hands with the person? Oh, good grief. Yeah, we know how the body works. We were just holding hands. I know how I'm not that far gone from being a teenager. And I know what it does to a teenage boy just to sit shoulder to shoulder with a girl in church. We don't divide you up. There's a lot of girls on one row, guys on other, and a lot of the rows out here. We don't do that because, hey, listen. Contrary to what the world tells you today, we want you to like the opposite sex. But there's a right time for everything. There's a right time for everything. And it's the little decisions that'll lead to the big decision. That's the bad decision where you lose your purity. Now, we have some decisions to make in life. And I'm not talking about whether or not you're going to eat bacon or sausage this morning. Those are simple. I'm not talking about whether or not you're going to take a bath. That's not so simple. My 8-year-old boy, it's Wednesday. If we were home, and I would say, Joshua, you know, have you had a shower lately? Yes, sir, Dad. I said, all right, well, you know, church is tonight. You probably should get a shower. Well, I had one Saturday. I'm not talking about those kind of, I'm talking about some of the big life-changing decisions. Let me give you four ways to make those decisions. Number one is this, spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. You don't flip a coin. You don't draw that box that I was talking about. When you're trying to decide where you're going to go to Bible college, you're trying to decide, about buying a vehicle. You're trying to decide whether or not you should be dating a person and so forth. It's some of the major decisions in life. Number one, spend time in prayer. Jesus thought it was very important to spend time in prayer. He didn't just say, God is great, God is good. Give me the Ford F-150, if you would. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says about one of the major decisions. One of the major decisions he made in life was choosing the 12 apostles. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Listen to this. And continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And I think anything that the Lord looked at as important, I think we as Christians ought to look at as important. And when we have to make a big decision, don't just make it on a whim. Don't just make it based on, well, you know, they called me more and they emailed me more and my friends doing this. But what's God's will for your life? So let me encourage you and if you have a pen, you ought to write these down. It's four simple points. You'll hear them all your life. But I've got stuff written everywhere in my Bible from what people have advised that they've given me. Number one, spend time in prayer. The Bible says this in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Can I say to you, teenagers can fast. Well, one of the most encouraging minutes in my 12 years as pastor of Trinity Baptist Church there. It's one time I had walked into the lunchroom during when we had our Christian school, and our school director asked him, I said, why are those two kids not eating? And he took me to the side. There were two teenage girls. He said, they're fasting. And they were fasting for a day, and I forget what it was they were fasting over. But you know what? There are some things in life that are worth fasting over. There are some decisions in life that we ought to afflict ourselves and say, God, I need you more than I need another candy bar. God, I need an answer. I need some direction more than I need my lunch today or my supper today. And I just say to you, number one, before you make those big decisions, don't just do it because you're being tempted. Don't just do it because of peer pressure. Don't just do it because it seems right to you. Number one, spend time in prayer. Number two, again, simple message, but number two, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. What does the Bible say about that decision? The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There are three ways that God teaches us from the Scripture. Number one is by precept. That is a command. That is a thou shalt not. Here's what the carnal Christians like to say. Well, where does the Bible say, thou shalt not? Well, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it have sounded a little goofy if 50 years ago they would have been reading in the Bible, thou shalt not get on Facebook and criticize your church? They would have been going, Facebook, what are they talking about? Could you imagine how big the Bible would have had to be to cover every issue and every... But God says, thou shalt not. So then there are those times when, well, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not. And that's always a carnal Christian that has that kind of mindset. And where does the Bible say that? Well, so the Bible teaches not only by precept, but by principle. There's a principle taught in the Word of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye holy, for I am holy. See, God didn't say, be ye not so bad, for I'm not so bad. Well, I just don't see what's wrong with it. I just don't think it's so bad. God didn't say it. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so in our time, in our generation, in 2013, I have to decide what separates me from the world. What makes me different about the world? There needs to be something strange. Peter wrote that they ought to think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. And so what is the principle taught in the Bible that I can apply to my life in 2013? Not only does the Bible teach by precept and by principle, but it also teaches by a person or by people. You can read in the Bible and see in Jonah's life what running from the will of God will do for you. You can see in Lot's life what a bad, a quick, an impulsive decision. Well, it looked greener over there. Well, I thought I could have this, and I thought you can see right there what making a bad decision will do for you. You can look in Samson's life and see what the wrong woman will do for you. And so there are many ways to allow the Word of God to direct you. So number one, good decisions. Number one, spend time in prayer. Number two, search the Scriptures. Get in your Bible. Number three is this. Seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. The Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But let me remind you, and all of us in here really, teenagers, adults, all of us, be careful who your counselors are. The Bible says in Psalm 1 and verse number 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't let Hollywood be your counselor. Don't let the status quo be your counselor. Don't let the rebellious teenager or the rebellious adult be your counselor. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Seek wise counsel. If I ask you right now to quickly write down three or four people that you seek counsel from, would you be able to do it? Would you say, I seek counsel from Bubba and from Junior and my other friend Bubba? We just kind of get together. We pray. I'll show you something in just a minute. But the Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse number 31, the hoary head, the gray head, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. You say, why do you give us that? Because I need to say to you that every adult in your church is not the best person to go to for counsel. When I went to secular college and I knew God was calling me to preach and I came home and I quit the secular school to go to Bible college, I had one of our deacons say, I just don't understand why you'd do that. He was a businessman. I don't understand why you wouldn't just finish out your schooling and then, you know, and then go to Bible college. Well, that was not really a spiritual advisor. So you be careful about, well, I've got these two or three adults. There's a lot of adults that want to be kids. Make sure that you have some good spiritual counselors, some folks that you're accountable to, some folks that you get advice from, some folks that you'll actually listen to. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse number 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We don't have time to go there, but all of you know the story of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was given counsel by the old men. And they told him a certain way to treat Israel and said, if you'll treat them this way, they'll follow you forever. But his buddies came up to him and said, hey, don't listen to that nonsense. Hey, listen, you do it our way. And he wound up following the young guys, didn't he? The guys his age. And he split a kingdom. And I'm simply saying to you, teenagers, you're going to have a lot of major. You don't have to call your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm at McDonald's. And I'm trying to decide whether to get the Happy Meal or the quarter pounder with cheese. We're not talking about those kind of decisions. Now, there's a lot of little decisions we need to pray about. But there are some major decisions coming your way in the next few years. And believe it or not, what you decide at 16, 17, and 18 will determine your quality of life at 38. I promise you. The study's out that the teenage brain has not developed the part that helps us to see the repercussions, to help us to see the results of our decisions. That's why we like to try to drive 100 miles an hour when we're 16, 17 years old and do dumb stuff. We don't realize what the price we're going to pay. Your brain's not even developed there. So listen to me. You can't afford to just make your own decisions. Too many of us live impulsively. You know what impulsively is? When you go to Walmart, all of those racks right there by the front counter, when you have all of your items that you were going to buy, and you get up there, and you go, oh, candy, oh, gum, there's soft drinks, oh, there's a box of matches, oh, there's a lint brush. I've always needed that. Those are impulse items, and your bill just went up by 20 bucks. We can't afford to live impulsively. Well, this is what I wanted. This is where I wanted to go to school. This is the decision I wanted. And this is what all my friends are doing. I just say to you, slow down. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Slow down. Spend time in prayer. Search the Scriptures. And seek wise counsel. There ought to be some folks in your church, a pastor, a youth pastor, a good godly church layman, but a godly one. And you can tell. You girls, you've got a pastor's wife, you've got a youth director's wife, you've got staff member wives, you have ladies in your church who have been there. And how do I know, preacher, how do I know if the adult is telling me something that I shouldn't listen to? If they're telling you opposite of what your preacher's been preaching from the pulpit? If the man of God is standing up saying this is the direction you ought to head in, and some old backslidden adult who wants to just be your buddy says, well, you know, it doesn't, we're a little extreme. That's a counselor you need to cancel. That's a counselor you need to fire. And you need to get a hold of some godly people. So spend time in prayer, search the Scriptures, seek wise counsel. And then I would just say this, number four, Spirit-led. There's a lot of things our flesh wants that God never intended for us to have. So it's got to be Holy Spirit-led. Well, and how do you know it's Holy Spirit-led? Because you've spent time in prayer. Because you spent time in the Word of God. Because those counselors that you've talked to, those godly counselors, are telling you the same thing. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want peace in your life? You want peace in your marriage? One day, kids, marry the right person. You want peace in your life? Make right decisions now. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. However, the Bible also tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You say, who is He? I don't know, but it works either way. When God directs my steps, God's going to delight in my way. When God directs my steps, I may not see it now, but I am going to delight in my way, and your life's going to be a whole lot better. Our lives are like a 1,000-piece puzzle. I can't put puzzles together. I've got ADD, ADHD, bipolar, all. I don't take any medicine for any of it. They've got a drug for everything these days. Yeah. I couldn't sit down and do that puzzle. I'd give up after about 2 pieces. Can you picture a pile of 1,000-piece puzzles? That's your life right now. That what the box shows, that pretty picture there of the trees and the pond and everything's green and everything's blue, that's a pretty picture. That's not what you're seeing. You're seeing a pile. I don't know where I'm going to go to school. I don't know what's going to happen here. I've got to make a decision about a car. I've got to make, am I going to work a job? Am I not going to work a job? And you've got all kinds of, but here's what happens. Slowly but surely, piece by piece, with the help of God and with the help of the right kind of counselors in your life, you're going to begin to see a pretty picture that God promised you that you would see. Now, I heard Brother Booth say this, quality of your life will not be determined by what you want. The quality of the life you live will be determined by the choices that you make. Just say one more thing and we'll have the invitation. This is certainly a computer generation. And everywhere you look, some like kids are playing games. There is no restart button in life. Oh, I'm not doing good on this game. Oh, I'll just restart. We'll start again. Contrary to what society wants to tell us today, that's not how marriage goes. You know, when she doesn't wear makeup, this is not what I imagined. Restart. Yeah, and 4 marriages down the road, you're going to sit out there in a church somewhere behind a bunch of teenagers. You're going to say, man, I wish I would have listened. You don't just hit restart. So what we need to hit today is restart in our thinking. So, you know, I do have a lot of decisions to make at 15, 16, 17, 18. And for the rest of my life, I've got a lot of decisions to make. I've got to spend time in the Bible. I've got to spend time in prayer. I've got to seek the right kind of counsel. Well, I've been listening to this person at church, and I just don't think they're counseling me the right way. I need to get to the people. And here's the problem is sometimes we know who it is that will tell us right. We just don't want to hear from them. So we're going to go find someone that will agree with us. We need the people that will make us think, seek wise counsel, and Spirit-led. Is this just what my flesh wants? Or is this what God wants? How many teenagers have been on track for God, knowing what God wanted? And then at the last minute, after they've graduated, they've gone through the Christian school, they are ready for Bible college. They've been wearing the T-shirt for 4 years, Providence Baptist College. And at the last minute, they say, well, you know, I've always dreamed of being a veterinarian. Where did that come from? I tell you where it came from. It came from I'm allowing my flesh now to control my life. I got on Facebook and I connected with friends that I haven't seen in 15 years. And they look like they're having a good time. And they look like they're successful because they drive a new car. And boy, right now, Pastor, this is what I want. A lot of decisions to make. And we need to make them the right way. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us today?